When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season, and it's all brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit moodys.com to learn more. I am John Schmelk. Joining me as always, my partner in crime, Tony Pauline. You can find his work at sportskeeda.com. And we are about 6 weeks away now, Tony, from the start of the NFL draft. It's coming fast and furious. We are in pro day season. Are you juiced up, energized, and ready to roll through this last 5 week sprint?
Kind of exhausted because pro day, you know, if you follow me at SportsKeeda, I do pro day reports throughout the day, sometimes multiple times a day. And you got to sit, I got to sit here and work the phones. I mean, yesterday, the 18th, there was like a half a dozen to 10 different pro days around the nation. So March is usually the worst month for me with all the scouting reports I do and the pro days, because basically the pro days are mini combines that happen around the nation, and you get anywhere from 6 to 10 of them happening each day, and I try and keep up on them.
Yeah, and the worst part of it is that there are no official pro day times, right? Nope. Teams just come and time themselves. So for fans that don't understand, Tony, the reason you have to call these people, you need to get the actual results of the pro day from scouts, and a lot of times different teams will have different numbers on these guys.
Happens all the time. I mean, and it really is, except for the electronic time at the combine, teams will usually go by what the scouts have on their watch for their particular team. So, and it happens all the time. You got the ATP scout, which is the sheet that goes out to all the teams with the quote unquote official times, but that's nothing more than one scout there with a handheld time. And, you know, unlike the combine that people see on TV where you have the starter, you have guy at the 10, you have a guy at the 20, the guy at the 40. You basically have a group of scouts at the finish line of the 40 looking down at the start and clicking at the start of their stopwatch when they see a first movement, and then clicking it when they see the guy, a body part of the of that player, cross the 40-yard line, which is why you have different sways, or wild sways in the 40 times.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to go through some of those 40 times. Now, I have some specific stuff, Tony. You mentioned you had a bunch yesterday. Just anything jump out or surprise you, or anything that you were very interested in that went on yesterday with some of the pro day stuff?
No, I mean, the kid that we saw at, the Northern Iowa defensive tackle did not work out, which was kind of a bummer.
Christian Boyd, right?
Yeah, exactly. Christian Boyd, because he had a hamstring, did 38 reps on the bench press. Ooh. A lot of scouts were ready to go out and see him. He hurt a hamstring the Thursday before. As I reported on SportsKeeda, he's hoping to kind of coordinate his workout with Gene Cooper of Iowa, who's working out on April 15th. Fresno State quarterback Colton Johnson, you know, you talk about the different sways in 40 times. His 40 was timed anywhere from 4.27 to 4.35, depending on the stopwatch that you had. And that was basically the good from yesterday.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cooper DeJean. He's a guy that is expected to test through the roof. He's an unbelievable athlete, and that'll happen a bit closer to the draft as he's coming back from his late-season injury that he underwent at Iowa. All right, Tony, so let's go on some of the pro day stuff that's happened. So we're going to start with that. I got a couple kind of big-picture questions for you on rumors that are flowing around on the old Twitterverse, and then we'll go through how NFC team needs have adjusted since free agency and maybe some ideal players to fit some of those needs in the first round for teams that have those first-round picks. All right, so let's start with Braylon Allen, Tony. He did not run the big running back out of Wisconsin at the NFL Combine. That was his choice. It was not due to injury. And then he did not run at the Senior Bowl either. What do you think?
And when he was at the Combine, he had a vertical jump of 32 inches. He had a broad jump of 9.9, which, you know, tells you that he's a heavy-footed guy. You know, he's a big downhill plodding ball carrier. I doubt he's going to run before the Combine. And, you know, any hopes that Braylon Allen had of maybe being a third-round pick, which I never had him that early, are going to drop through the roof. He's very good at what he does, which is grind it out between the tackles, but he really shows no speed in his game. And the fact that he's not running at the Combine or during his pro day really kind of reinforces the belief that, you know, he's a one-speed guy, and scouts will put him down for something between a 4.65 and a 4.7.
Yeah, and a lot of people think he has that straight line speed. When you're that big and you don't show it, then scouts are definitely going to question it, Tony. I'm with you on that. A couple of times that jumped out to me last couple of days that got reported out there by people that do this much like you. Leitu Latu, 7.093 cone, 4.34 shuttle, right in line with the type of stuff he showed at the Combine, Tony. Not off the charts, fall off your chair. This is the best thing I've ever seen. But they're all in the really, really good areas where it matches his tape. And assuming he, you know, gets cleared medically, he's going to be a top 15, top 20 pick.
And that's it, you know, clear medically. And the, you know, the three cone and the short shuttle should not surprise anybody, because if you watch him, he's fast in a straight line. He's fast laterally. He can bend off the edge. He gets down the line, a scrimmage in pursuit, chasing the action. So he's that sort of athlete. Those times shouldn't surprise anybody.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Georgia's pro day, Tony. Another guy whose time should not surprise anyone if you watch him on the field or on tape is Ladd McConkey. A blazing 3.97 short shuttle, a blazing 6.72 three cone. Ooh, boy, that dude can move and make sense with the way he separates. And I wonder if a team like the Chiefs might start thinking about McConkey as early as 32.
And on top of that, a 4.39 electronic time at the Combine, which is faster than anybody thought. And I think McConkey, it's a situation where, you know, you talk about the Chiefs at 32. I think McConkey should be in the conversation as a late first round choice. I don't know that it's going to happen, because you've got so many receivers and so many offensive tackles and may push him out, but I think he absolutely deserves mention as you get into the late parts of round one. I think the Chiefs, are they going to go receiver? They're going to go offensive tackle, because you got to protect Patrick Mahomes.
Great route runner, natural pass catcher, makes it look easy, super smooth. No one could cover him down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. The only issue I think is teams have to worry about it, his size, Tony, if he can stay healthy consistently, which is something he struggled at Georgia. So that's the one thing I think that might knock him down some boards for teams.
Not the biggest guy in the world, doesn't have the biggest hands, not the longest arms, but he can separate. So he's got to learn to protect himself and the football, which he did a good job of at Georgia, but protect himself, you know, running after the catch and after making the reception.
All right, let's stick at the Georgia Pro Day. And after not seeing him run at the Senior Bowl, Brock Bauer still not running. This time he says it's a hamstring. Are we going to try to get another, like, individual day for him in a month where he can try to run this 40?
I'm told that he is chomping at the bit to run. He really, really wants to run. I heard this during a Georgia Pro Day. The hamstring is preventing him from running. It'll be a late decision. He wants to be 100%, you know, his team wants him to be 100% healthy. I think it was up to Brock Bowers. He probably would have run on Georgia Pro Day, but he's being held back because of that hamstring. If they get a chance for him to run, I think it'll be, it'll be done. He himself wants to run the 40.
Yeah, and look, I think we all think he's going to test really well. So it's just a matter of when he does it. And if he doesn't, the tape is good enough where I don't think he's going to get dinged if he doesn't end up running a 40. The other interesting Georgia player that did not run at the Combine down in Indianapolis was Kamari Lassiter, a cornerback a lot of people think is going to be a day two pick. Tony, there were different internet reports. Field Yates said he talked to some scouts. They had him in the 4.51 area. Dane Brugler said he talked to scouts, and they had him in the 4.61 area. What did you hear about where he timed out?
4.52 to 4.56 is what I heard, is what I reported. It wasn't a blazing time, but, you know, in the lower 4.5s, it was fast enough. You know, it's kind of funny, because when I was talking to scouts, we were talking about Lassiter, and I said, you know, you never see Lassiter lose out in the foot race. He's never a guy that's getting beat down the field, where Nate Wiggins of Clemson He ran, what, a 4.28, 4.29 at the combine? But you watch Nate Wiggins of Clemson, and he's constantly playing catch-up downfield. So I think with Lassiter, you know, teams are going to have to look at the tape and see that he, you know, he is football fast. Maybe he's not 40 fast, but I've got times between 4.52 and 4.55.
I'm happy you brought up Wiggins, Tony, because he didn't run the 40 at his pro day. I mean, why would you when you're on a sub 4.3? But he did run drills. He looked smooth. And maybe more importantly, he weighed in at 182 pounds versus just 171 or 173 at the combine. I think that'll help him.
Yeah, I mean, it should. He still has to polish those ball skills a little bit. But, you know, with Wiggins, you're looking at a guy who has got the ingredients to be a real good cornerback now. And if you develop him properly, is going to be could be a real top cornerback, a starting cornerback 2 or 3 years down the road, or 1 or 2 years down the road.
Yeah, I think both of us are in agreement that we think both Terry and Arnold I love Wiggins. I'm a Wiggins guy, but this is being predictive now. I think we both believe Terry and Arnold and Quinion Mitchell will go ahead of him, right, on draft day?
I think Kool-Aid McKinstry, depending on what happens with that Jones fracture, Quinion Mitchell's actually working out as we are taping this at Toledo Pro Day. I don't think he's going to do anything because his marks were terrific at the combine, probably just doing a bunch of position drills. But I agree with you. Yeah, Arnold and Mitchell before Nate Wiggins. As far as McKinstry, depends on what the outlook is with the with the injury.
And Cooper DeJean, too. We'll see what he is injury-wise, too, when he comes back. Are you hearing safety or corner more for him from NFL scouts, Tony?
I think it's going to be a situation where he's going to be tried at corner first, and if he can't make it a corner, he's going to be pushed inside to safety. I think he could eventually be a safety. As I said all along, I think he's more of an opportunistic cornerback than a guy that's got great ball skills and great fundamentals, a la Quinion Mitchell. I think he shows a little stiffness in his game, but he's a great athlete. You can use him as a return specialist. He's not a sure thing, Cooper DeJean. I know people, I don't have him in my first round. I know people think he's a first round lock. I don't think so. Could be because of the fact that cornerbacks go much earlier. But I think right now, most teams are looking at him as a, from what I've heard and spoken to, people are talking about him as a cornerback.
Got it. All right. Let's go to the trade that happened in the draft, and then we'll get to a couple rumors that are out there and then some free agency stuff as well, Tony. Vikings trade a pair of second-round picks, their second-round pick this year, their second-round pick next year, to go grab the 23rd overall pick in this year's draft, a team with their 11th overall pick in this draft. They got the 23rd pick from the Houston Texans, by the way. And all indications are, Tony, especially since Kirk Cousins left in free agency, that this means they're going to try to package those two first-round picks to move up and get a quarterback.
Or package something and get a quarterback. I mean, that's the way it looks. I thought it was a good trade for Minnesota. I mean, I really thought it was a good trade for Minnesota because I liked the first round, and they're inside the top 25, and I've got like 28 guys with solid first-round picks. So I think it's a situation where – got to see where that fourth quarterback or even the third quarterback, if they start to fall, Minnesota will probably try and make a move up to get a passer that a signal call that they desperately need.
Yeah. And look, they don't have that. They have Sam Darnold as their nominal starter here, which is fine as a stopgap. But, you know, last year, I think we all believed that they were trying to get a quarterback. It didn't work out for them in terms of where they drafted and everything like that. So we'll see if they're able to move up. And I think the interesting question now is, Tony, who's going to trade down? You know, and we'll get into the team needs in a second. But, you know, the Patriots have Jacoby Brissett, much like the Vikings have Sam Darnold. I think it's the same category of quarterback, right? So I'd be surprised if they don't decide to pick at three. Marvin, if you look at the Cardinals, they right now do not have a wide receiver. They traded Rondale Moore. They let Hollywood Brown go. They need a wide receiver. I'd be shocked if they passed on either Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr., who we'll get to that in a second. And I think the Chargers are the other team, right? That's the team that I think is looking to get out at five. You can get out of five, still get a receiver. You pick up a second first-round pick. You can pick up an offensive tackle. It's such a deep class at those two spots. And I think that would kind of fit what Jim Harbaugh wants to do in a two-for-one type of area. So I think for me, the team I'm keeping an eye on the most is Los Angeles. I wanted to say San Diego at number five, with the Chargers trading down and the Vikings going up to get to that five spot to get ahead of the Giants at six potentially.
Absolutely. I mean, the Chargers at five, if the quarterback is still there, the fourth quarterback is still there, gets past the Giants, you got to look at Atlanta at eight. If he continues to move down, you got to look at the Jets at number 10, because you know, you're not going to be trading down that far. Your teams are going to be moving up to get in front of the Giants to get that fourth quarterback. Or if the fourth quarterback slides to number 10, teams are going to be looking up to trade up and get ahead of Minnesota to get that quarterback. So, you know, it's a roll of the dice. Do they want to, you know, is J.J. McCarthy worth the fifth pick in the draft? Is he worth, you know, two first-round picks to move up? I mean, that's a discussion we got to have.
Yeah, and we're going to have that discussion as we move forward, absolutely. And by the way, it's going to be competition too, Tony. Do you think Sean Payton wants to go into the year with his quarterback room? I don't think so. I mean, I think the Raiders have Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback. I think those two teams will be competing with Minnesota for the chance to move up to get whatever quarterback gets out of that top two or top three, depending on how that goes. All right.
But that is why, just so for a second, that's why I say if McCarthy gets past the Giants at six, if Minnesota doesn't trade up to five, he gets past the Giants at six, then you got to start to look at Atlanta at number eight, even the Jets at number 10 for a team that wants to get a hop, skip over Minnesota to get the quarterback, the Denver Broncos being the prime candidates, because you're not moving that far down and you're still going to have options there. You're still going to get a good player there at 12 that fits needs.
And Tony, you brought up McCarthy. Is he worth that pick? This brings me to one of the topics I wanted to bring up with you real quick. Lance Zierlein, who we both have a lot of respect for, he does all the player profiles for NFL.com and in terms of their draft work. He's been doing this a long time. He's very good at what he does. And he put up a couple interesting tweets the other day saying basically that he has McCarthy as like a late one, early second round pick.
So do I. Yep.
But he has never... This might be the biggest difference he's ever seen in terms of what media scouts are grading a player and how NFL front offices see a player, and that the front offices and position coaches and things like that love his ability to decipher pre-snap, to get his eyes to the right place, where to go with the ball. Very smart. We've talked about how good he is with the intangibles. And I just thought it was interesting that he really thinks teams are much, much higher on McCarthy, which is, by the way, what we heard at Indianapolis in the combine than what some of the, you know, media scouts are, people like me and you, Daniel Jeremiah, you know, that group of guys. Are you hearing the same when you talk to your, you know, people around the league?
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time. I mean, let's go back. I mean, I talked about how I love McCarthy's moxie and his confidence and the way he led Michigan. And that came through during combine interviews. Teams fell in love with McCarthy because of that attitude, because of that confidence that he has. And then you factor it in, there are so many teams that need quarterbacks, and quarterbacks are so overdrafted. And, you know, a lot of these teams are like, this is our guy. You could look at the combine workout. I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place here. I didn't think McCarthy's combine workout was that great. He threw some nice deep passes, but his shorter throws were something, or, you know, he's overthrowing. He tried to put a lot of effort and get the speed on the ball, and he was high of the mark. He was all over the place. So there's a big danger there. But, yeah, I mean, he comes across as a leader, which is what he did so well at Michigan. Even though he wasn't asked to throw the ball 25, 30 times a game, he did lead that Michigan team into the playoffs 2 years in a row and to a national title this year. So they love that about him, and you can see that. He doesn't make bad choices on the field. He makes some questionable throws on occasion, but he doesn't really make bad choices. And again, as I said time and time again, football coaches do exactly that. They coach football players. And when they see a guy like McCarthy who gets it between the ears, they tend to push away the bad aspects of his game. They say, we're going to coach him up. You talk to scouts. They always say, what can a guy do? What can a guy do well that we can work with? It's not what does he do bad. Unfortunately, at the quarterback position, the things that the signal calls are not that good at can really kill them at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think, too, you know, position coaches, quarterback coaches, former quarterbacks, head coaches can probably see a little bit more of that processing stuff than we can, understanding the plays and all that sort of stuff. So I'm with you.
And
I would
say this. I agree with Lance. I mean, I have, you know, at my board, McCarthy is one of the last guys to have a first round grade on, a pure first round grade on, then it goes to first and second round grades, but he's going to be overdrafted.
Man, that's what happens to quarterbacks, right? The odd thing is, like, Will Levis is the one guy it didn't happen with last year, and then he turned out to have a pretty good rookie year. So I think that's interesting. All right, so final thing on the quarterbacks before I get to one other thing here real quick. Daniel Jeremiah said he believes four quarterbacks in the top six. I'm going to go and say I think four quarterbacks in the top five. That's my feel because of the reason I said before. When do you think that fourth and final quarterback goes off the board, Tony, when all is said and done?
I think there's going to be four quarterbacks in the top 10. If you're saying top five, that means someone's going to trade up ahead of the Giants to get J.J. McCarthy. If you think top six, that means the Giants are taking J.J. McCarthy. I don't know about that just yet. I think it'll be top 10 because a team such as I mentioned, Atlanta or the Jets could maybe trade down a few slots for a team that wants to move up ahead of Minnesota. Even Minnesota may want to move up, you know, those two or three spots just to ensure a quarterback. So I think it's going to be four quarterbacks in the top 10 at this point in time. I think it should only be three quarterbacks, but, you know, that's the way it goes these days.
And then with everything I'm hearing, Tony, to be totally honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if McCarthy is the third quarterback and not the fourth one, which I know to me and you, with the way we see the quarterbacks, we don't think that's what should happen, but it wouldn't shock me. One other piece that I want to hit on, Daniel Jeremiah put out an interesting tweet the other day. And this is something we've said on this show, too, but I think it's a good time to reintroduce this conversation, is that there are NFL teams out there, and Dane Brugler's reported this as well, that has Malik Nabers as their number one wide receiver over Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think I want to stress with fans, I think that's a stylistic thing. You know, I think they just like the explosive ball in your hands, you know, start, stop, speed, explosiveness factor with Nabers, which he has over everyone in this draft because he's that freakish of an athlete. So I thought it was interesting that they seem to do a blowback to that, but it would not surprise me if there's are teams out there that have Nabers as their number one wide receiver.
Two things. You know, he's quicker. As you said, he's much more explosive. He's not as much a game controller as Marvin Harrison. I also think Marvin Harrison has done himself no favors in the pre-draft process by saying he's not going to do this. He's not going to run. He's not, you know, he's not going to do the shuttle. What he's not going to do. He's telling this to potential future employers who are going to invest tens of billions of dollars into him. So I think it's a combination of Nabers is a terrific quarterback and Marvin receiver. Harrison is terrific. I'm sorry. Nabers is a terrific receiver and Marvin Harrison has done himself no favors. Now, remember this. Malik Nabers, the LSU Pro Day is March 27th, a week after we do the show. We talked about Braylon Allen not running the 40. I was talking to somebody in the league about the top vertical receivers, and we were talking about Xavier Worthy, we were talking about Troy Franklin, and I mentioned Malik Nabers, and this person said, I don't think Malik Nabers is really a vertical receiver. I don't think he's a true downfield threat. He said to me, he goes, there's a reason why he didn't run it at the combine. He says, it'll be interesting to see if he runs at LSU Pro Day and what time he runs at LSU Pro Day. And if Malik Nabers chooses not to run at LSU Pro Day, teams are going to put him down as a 4-5, 4-5-5 type of receiver. I disagree with it looking at the film, but he says, no, he goes, we don't view him as a true vertical threat. He's going to have to prove it to us with this 40 time, if in fact he runs the 40 on March 27th.
Wow, 4-5-5. That's high. That is high.
Go back to Kwame Lassiter. I mean, Lassiter, you know, ran in low 4.4s, but he plays much faster.
Right.
And again, it's if he doesn't run, they are assuming that he's not running because he is a 4-5 type of 40 athlete, if you will.
Yeah, I just think we saw on so many of those slot fades where he is going vertical and winning vertically. I mean, he's just running past people. Who knows? Sometimes game feed, you're right, Tony, is just better than track speed. So we'll have to wait and see. Draft season is brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. All right, let's get into our offensive team needs in the NFC, or NFC team needs, pardon me. NFC team needs and how that's been impacted by free agency. We'll go division by division. We'll just go in order here in terms of what the order of the standings were last year in each division. And I'll give briefly who the teams have lost and added. And then, Tony, we could talk about their needs and an ideal first-round pick for them. So let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Their only addition was Eric Kendricks, a former linebacker who will help teach that group Mike Zimmer's system. And boy, do they have a lot of losses. Tyron Smith, Tyler Biadasz, two starting offensive linemen, Michael Gallup, starting wide receiver, starting middle linebacker, Leighton Van Der Esch, rotational pass rushers, Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler, and their starting running back, Tony Pollard. And Tony, to me, that just underlines their needs in this draft. Offensive tackle, center, running back.
Well, I'll say, you know, offensive tackle, you can move Tyler Smith out to left tackle because that's a position that he played and played very well in college and was drafted. You know, people had him as a left tackle coming in. I think, you know, you look at the receiver position, that's a position of need. You look at some of the positions up front. I think they would like to maybe get another younger pass rusher in there. But yeah, I mean, they've really done nothing in large part because they were hamstrung by the salary cap.
Yeah, and that $59 million cap hit for Dak Prescott. And you're right, defensive line is the last one I have on my list as well. So pick 24, Tony, and again, we're going like ideal pick here, and that doesn't mean we think the guy is necessarily going to get there, but I tried to pick guys, at least for me, that'll be in the neighborhood of that pick. So for their ideal pick at 24, I gave him Jackson Powers Johnson as the guy they would hope would drop there so they can just plug and play at center.
You would think so, but the question is Jackson Powers Johnson going to be there? He may go to Pittsburgh, may go to Miami. I would agree with you. That is a player there to watch for them. Unless one of the offensive tackles, Tyler Guyton, happens to fall slide down to him, or maybe a Kingsley Suamataya falls down to him. And then
do you think there's any chance a guy like Amarius Mims gets down that far?
I think that's the range where he goes. He goes anywhere from 18 to 24. So I think there's a slight chance.
And I'll throw Graham Barton out there too, if they really want that center as a guy that has some position flex as a potential late first round pick, they might want to plug and play him at center. So just another name for the Cowboys. For the Eagles, bear with me. A lot of names, folks. Additions, defensive end or slash edge rusher, Bryce Huff, Saquon Barkley, running backs, Chelsea Gardner Johnson. They trade for Kenny Pickett. They bring in linebackers Zach Bond and Devin White. They lost DeAndre Swift, Marcus Mariota, Nicholas Morrow, Josiah Opita, their offensive lineman, backup, and Jack Driscoll, another depth guy there. So, Tony, for me, I think corner has to be the number one need for this group with two aging guys in Bradbury and Slay. I think that's number one. If you agree with that, what other needs do you think this team has?
Maybe they want to get a young offensive tackle in there. I mean, you got to wonder if the Eagles have a salary cap. If the salary cap applies to them, you see what they do in free agency. But I'm sure they'd like to. I agree with you about cornerback. I think if a young offensive tackle is there, that's the Howie Roseman way, is to basically build and draft offensive linemen, even when the team doesn't seem to need offensive linemen. I think that's a position that he has to consider. If an offensive tackle falls to them that's rated higher than the cornerback available to them.
I agree. I'm with you on that. You know, Lane Johnson's getting old, so they're going to have to make a move on him at some point. So remember they drafted Andre Dillard around this pick a few years ago when they had two starters on the offensive tackle just to bolster the spot. So I agree. I think that's a possibility.
Remember they took Cam Jurgens in the second round a couple of years ago. Everyone's like, why the heck did they take Cam Jurgens? Yeah. And guess who their starting center is going to be next year?
Cam Jurgens, right? They like the future proof with some of these picks, and they like going with offensive linemen at these picks too. So something to keep in mind. So pick 22 is where the Eagles are in the first round. You're going to think this is too rich, Tony, but I think in Vic Fangio's defense that you don't have to be quite as twitchy or loose in the hips. I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean here. I think his size, speed, and ball skills in that zone heavy, you know, quarters, cover six, Vic Fangio system would be a really, really nice fit for the Eagles at 22.
And if it doesn't work out at cornerback, I mean, you can always stick him inside at safety, right? They got Reed Blankenship there. They signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Which would be a position. I think if Tyler Guyton happens to fall to them, Harry Rose jumps all over Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one too. All right, let's go to the New York Football Giants. They add Brian Burns in a big trade, two offensive linemen that they think they can plug in as starters at some spot. We'll see where they wind up. John Runyon, Jermaine Illuminor, Devin Singletary, and then Drew Lock, the backup quarterback, because they lost Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney, Ben Bredesen, and Mark Lewinsky. So, Tony, I think this is an easy one for me. This is at this point trying to get the offense better with that sixth overall pick. It's wide receiver, or if they love one of the quarterbacks, they could always go there. But to me, is Malik Nabers there? Great. If Drake May drops, great. If Roma Dunze is there, great. I think the Giants are in really good situation to get a player at a position of need at number six.
I mean, who is their number one receiver right now?
Darius Slayton.
Exactly. I mean, so everyone's talking about J.J. McCarthy, but who's he going to throw the ball to? And J.J. McCarthy, as we spoke about, you know, flourished under a great running attack at Michigan, which the New York Giants don't have anymore. So don't have yet anyway, or have to get back to it. So, yeah, I think it's got to be Nabers or Dunze. I think both of those guys are perfect fits. But other than the quarterback, which I think the quarterback, you're going to need time. Don't know if they have time. They're going to want some immediate returns.
Agreed. Washington Commanders. All right, here we go, Tony. They basically reset their whole roster here. So a lot of veteran additions here to try to figure things out. Dorrance Armstrong, Frankie Louvu, Tyler Biadasz, Austin Eckler, Marcus Mariota, Zach Ertz, Nick Allegretti, Cleland Farrell, Jeremy Chin, Austin Eckler. Those are their additions. They lost Kendall Fuller, Curtis Samuel, Jacoby Brissett, Cameron Curl, Antonio Gibson, Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett, Cornelius Lucas, who they actually, I believe, just re-signed to a one-year contract today. So you can slide him back into the addition column. Sadiq Charles Leno, and Logan Thomas. So to me, Tony, this is a blank slate for Washington. They can go wherever they want, but quarterback is still the ultimate need for them. And I can't imagine they're not picking a quarterback at two. And I think their, you know, pipe dream would be that Caleb Williams somehow gets them at two, or they're able to move up to get him.
Well, even if it doesn't, and they end up with Jaden Daniels, that's a terrific pick as well. I think the big thing with Washington is, you know, is there a good offensive tackle there when they select in round two? Does Jordan Morgan happen to fall to them? Is Kingsley Suamataya happen to fall to him? Because I think if they can get Jaden Daniels with that second pick and then a real good left tackle at the top of round two, now all of a sudden that offense is heading in the right direction.
100% agree. All right, let's jump over to the AFC North here, Tony. The Lions trying to reinforce what was already a roster that got all the way to the NFC title game where they lost to the 49ers. They had a couple of corners, Carlton Davis via trade, Amik Robertson in free agency. Two defensive linemen, Marcus Davenport on a flyer, small one-year contract. DJ Reader to help stop the run. And then they bring back their special teamers, Jalen Reeves-Maben. And then they lose, though, Jonah Jackson, one of their big offensive linemen, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, though they just recently signed Kevin Zeitler to plug into that Jonah Jackson spot. So, Tony, when I take a look at this Lions team, I still think they could use another edge rusher next to or across, rather, from Hutchinson. I think that's a spot they could use at home. Maybe they could use another wide receiver still to pair with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. They pick at 29. I have two Robinsons. I could go for Chop. I could go for Darius. And I think either one of those guys would work. I think I like the Chop fit better as more of a speed rusher across from Hutchinson, who's, you know, more of a powerful two-way guy.
I don't see Darius Robinson as an edge rusher. I see him as a complete defensive lineman that can play in a three-man front and as a four-man front.
Yeah.
If Chop Robinson is there after the workouts that he's had, I jump all over him. If Latu is there from the UCLA, I think you got to consider him. But I would agree with you. I mean, they seem to fill some interior offensive line needs in free agency, unless they fall in love with a Grant Barton, just to get a younger guy in there. I think it's going to be edge.
All right, Tony, let's jump to the Green Bay Packers. They finished in second place in the NFC North, got to the second round of the playoffs after blowing out Dallas in round one. Two big additions. You know, it's rare for the Packers to spend big in free agency, but they do. On safety, Xavier McKinney, and running back Josh Jacobs. They lose Aaron Jones, John Runyon Jr., Darnell Savage, David Bakhtiari, and Devondre Campbell, the linebacker. So, Tony, I'm looking here. I think offensive tackle is a need here, maybe an interior offensive lineman. You can always go corner. You know, pick 25. You want a guy that can, you know, move inside out, can play tackle a little bit. I got Jordan Morgan as a possibility at number 25.
I think it depends on if they feel that Rasheed Walker can handle the left tackle spot. I always like Rasheed Walker coming out of Penn State. He was injured late in his career. They moved him over to left tackle. I think, Morgan is an option. I think Fuega of Oregon State, if he's there, would be an option for him. I think Tyler Guyton would also be an option for him. It all depends on whether they feel that Rashid Walker is the guy that can handle the left tackle duties moving forward. And then if you draft the right tackle, you move Zach Tom, the right tackle now, into guard, which is his more natural spot as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's a pick 25 in the first round. All right, now let's jump to the Minnesota Vikings. They have a lot of turnover here, Tony. They lose Kirk Cousins, Danielle Hunter, DJ Wanham, Marcus Davenport, Jordan Hicks, KJ Osborne, Austin Schlottman, Josh Dobbs. But they pick up Jonathan Greenard to replace Hunter, Blake Cashman, the inside linebacker, edge rusher Andrew Van Ginkle. He's a really unique guy. He can do a little bit of everything. Aaron Jones, Jerry Tillery, and Feeney. Those are the guys they add. And obviously, we talked about this already, Tony, so we could be quick here. It's quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Can they find a team that wants to trade out so they can trade up to get their quarterback of the future? Because right now, they're staring Sam Darnold in the face.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about it at the top. What more is it to talk about? It's just a matter of if they take the quarterback and that quarterback is J.J. McCarthy, are they set for the future? Or are they going to be looking for another quarterback 2 or 3 years down the road?
Yep. All right, let's jump to the Chicago Bears here, Tony, who I think have had a fun offseason. They had Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, Kevin Byard. They trade for Keenan Allen. They lose Darnell Mooney, Justin Jones, Nathan Peterman, backup quarterback, Dan Feeney, Justin Fields, who they traded for basically a virtual pick swap. So Tony, obviously first pick overall, this team needs a quarterback. Caleb Williams is there. I think we'd all be shocked at this point if that's not what happens.
It would be mind boggling. I mean, there's Jaden Daniels may come into the conversation, but I think right now, the way we look at it, 99.9% Caleb Williams.
Now, the more interesting part is that they also pick a 9, Tony.
Yep.
So I think ideally for them, they would love for one of those top 3 wide receivers to somehow get to 9th overall on the board.
Well, they traded for Keenan Allen. I think the only way one of those receivers falls to them is if J.J. McCarthy goes in the top 8, which we talked about. You know, would they take Rock Bowers? I mean, I know they signed Gerald Everett in the offseason. They've got a good amount of tight ends on the roster. But
Cole Kmet.
They don't have that pure game breaker. And then if Fashanu's there, which he quite possibly could be there, the left tackle from Penn State, do they go with Fashanu? Well, even though Braxton Jones has played well for them, I think Fashanu is, an all-pro type caliber left tackle with the play he's shown at Penn State the past 2 years and his upside. So they're in a good position. They're going to get, a potential franchise quarterback, which they hope Justin Fields would be, and they're going to get another piece to add to help Caleb Williams either catching the ball or blocking for him.
Yeah, or if they want to go defense, Tony, they need an edge rusher to go across with Montez Sweat. They don't have that second guy. So if they love Dallas Turner, if he's sitting there, maybe that's a possibility too at number 9, or maybe even Jared Verse or Leetu Latu, depending on what their flavor of ice cream there is in terms of edge rushers. All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they bring in Jordan Whitehead, Josiah Opita, the backup offensive lineman for the Eagles, and Ben Bredesen from the Giants. They lose Devin White, middle linebacker, and Aaron Stinney, an interior offensive lineman. Tony, they trade Carlton Davis as well, and that's why I think corner has to be the priority here for them at pick 26. I'm just not sure that some of the top guys we're talking about will be there. So I have Nate Wiggins slotted in as a guy that I think they'd be pretty happy to get at pick 26.
Corner, maybe an edge rusher. I think they could use a help at edge rusher if
Agreed.
One of the top guys falls. I don't think you take Braylon Trice that early, even though he is an explosive player. I don't think you take Chris Braswell. I would say cornerback. I think, if a team really wants to move up to get a fifth quarterback in the first round, or even another player, a higher rated receiver, I think Tampa Bay is in a good position to trade down.
Agree. All right, let's go to New Orleans Saints, Tony. They add Chase Young on a 1-year deal. Yep. Willie Gay, the linebacker. They lose Malcolm Roach and Isaac Yiadom as they continue to renegotiate all of their in-house contracts so they don't have to cut people. Michael Thomas, a loss here as well. He's one of those guys they had to let go. I think offensive tackle here, the Trevor Penning draft pick, Tony, has not worked out. And I think at pick 14, if Olu Fashanu somehow gets to them at 14, I think they would run to the podium. Other guys like, Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, those types that you want to slide into left tackle. But I think if somehow Fashanu got to them, I think that would be ideal for the Saints.
I think the Chase Young signing was good to fill the need. Granted, it's temporary. But, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Penning. I know Ryan Ramczyk, he had a serious injury at the end of the last season.
Yeah.
There's some concern about him moving forward. You know, if Fashanu's there, I think you take him. Maybe you move Penning to right tackle or something like that. But it's got to be offensive tackle. With the caveat, it could be a receiver if a top-rated receiver falls to them, which I don't think is going to happen.
Agreed. All right, let's go to the Atlanta Falcons here, Tony. They select at pick number 8 in this year's draft. They had Kirk Cousins at quarterback to fill the hole. Big need there. That's big monstrous for them, obviously. Darnell Mooney at wide receiver. Charlie Warner, Kentavious Street, Rondell Moore they bring in a wide receiver slash gadget guy as well. They lose Jeff Okuda, Matt Hennessy, Matt Collins, Van Jefferson, Desmond Ridder. No big names there. So I think the Falcons are really in a pretty good spot here, Tony. And I think without the quarterback need anymore, I think they need help on defense. I think you have to look at the edge spot, the pass rusher outside, which points to me to Dallas Turner.
Not only that, he's a good fit because they play primarily a 3-4 type system. And Dallas Turner's a guy you'd rather have standing over tackle rather than his hand on the ground. Can play backed off the line of scrimmage. You really got to like what they did in the offseason. You get Kirk Cousins. You don't know how much he's got left in the tank, but he's going to give you some short-term returns. You add Mooney, who's a speedster. Rondell Moore, who, like as you said, is a gadget player, can do anything, which complements Drake London well. I think Dallas Turner, if they don't trade down, if the opportunity doesn't present themselves, I think Turner is just another great piece that fits a need with an outstanding player.
Yeah, I think corner or safety is a possibility. I think 8 might be a little rich for a corner, though maybe they like Quinion Mitchell enough. We'll have to wait and see. And then wide receiver, I think, you know, if you want to add somebody to that room, but they already have Mooney. They have the rookie they drafted last year, and then they have Kyle Pitts as well. So they do have bodies there. So I think they're looking to improve their defense at this point. We'll see what they do. All right, Carolina Panthers, final NFC South team, Tony. A lot of additions, a lot of them designed to help their quarterback, Bryce Young. 2 guards to protect him in Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. On defense, they add A'shaun Robinson, Josie Jewell, Dane Jackson, the corner, Kalyvon Chaisson. And then Deontay Johnson, who I thought was a really good wide receiver they traded for. He creates separation better than anyone that was on that Panthers team last year. They lose Frankie Louvu, Yetur Gross-Matos, and Jeremy Chinn off of their defense. Tony, I think for me, you're still trying to make the best situation out of Bryce Young that you can here. I think that pick at the top of the second round, they do not have a first-round pick, so it's the 33rd overall pick. I think you just pick the best wide receiver that's left and plug him in there.
Or an offensive lineman. Is Ikwunu your left tackle moving forward? I mean, that's got to be a question. Yeah. Deontay Johnson, not a real locker room guy. You know, basically gave away Brian Burns to the Giants. I mean, that was a great trade by the Giants. So, you know, receiver would make sense. An offensive lineman would make sense. But, well, you don't know what we've seen from what we've seen with the Panthers the past couple of years, you just don't know.
No, you don't. They're in flux, new management, new coach, new GM, all that stuff. So Dan Morgan's now calling the shots there for the Panthers, former linebacker. All right, final division, Tony. Let's go to the NFC West here. The San Francisco 49ers, they finished in first place, went to the Super Bowl. They add Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, George Odom, Jordan Elliott, Malik Collins, and Isaac Yiadom. They lose Chase Young, Sam Darnold, Javon Kinlaw, Cleveland Farrell, Charlie Warner, and Arik Armstead. They had to let go for cap reasons. Now there's rumors out there that they're trying to shop one of their wide receivers because they're afraid they can't pay both of them. We'll have to wait and see about that. But I'm still looking at Cole McKivitz and John Feliciano as the two guys on the right side of the offensive line, Tony. I think they could use an offensive tackle or offensive guard on that side to help. And I don't think he's going to get to 31, but this, I'm being overly optimistic. I saw J.C. Latham in there as would be an ideal guy for them to pick up to man the right side of that offensive line.
Maybe a cornerback as well, but I think they could use that. If Cooper DeJean's there, that would be an interesting selection for them. Could use an interior offensive lineman as well. Maybe Graham Barton if he's there, although Graham Barton has really built some momentum with teams in the scouting community. I think even though they're drafting second to last in round 1, they'll still be able to get a decent player that fills a need.
All right, let's go to the Los Angeles Rams. They add Jonah Jackson. They lose and they add, pardon me, they add Jonah Jackson. They add Colby Parkinson, the blocking tight end. They re-sign Kevin Dotson, the corner Darius Williams, wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, safety Cameron Call, and then they add Jimmy Garoppolo to be the backup quarterback. They didn't really lose anyone of note, Tony. They kept the band together after a good year last year. And I think the Rams could use help at cornerback. And I think a pick 19, if they can figure out a way to get Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, I think that would be a steal for them. I think they could use help up front on defense as well. But I think if they can get a corner at 19, that'll really help solidify their defense after trading Jalen Ramsey a couple years ago.
Makes sense with the guys that you said. I think they may add a second edge rusher that had great success with Byron Young. If a guy like Latu is there, which I would expect him to be, and he really turns him on, and they want to get another edge rusher there, that would also be a consideration. But yeah, I would think cornerback, the two guys you mentioned, the priority, maybe an edge rusher.
All right, Seattle Seahawks, they add Nick Harris, George Fant, Sam Howell. They lose Damian Lewis, Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner, Colby Parkinson. So, Tony, I think they're always looking to add to the defensive line. They could probably add an edge guy here if they want. They could add a pass rushing defensive tackle if they want. I could see them adding, maybe an inside linebacker after losing Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks. I think at pick 16, if Byron Murphy is somehow there for them, I think that would be a really good fit to plug in there on the inside next to Leonard Williams and let those guys go to work.
Byron Murphy or an edge rusher. If Chop Robinson's there, he'd be a great fit for that system coming off the edge. I think that's a major upgrade. You know, I keep talking about Leitu. Maybe if he clears medicals, I think an edge rush, one of those two edge rushers, would be a consideration for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'll throw Jared Verse into the mix there, too, as kind of the third edge rusher in that top tier. Final team, Tony, the Arizona Cardinals. They add Jonah Williams, Justin Jones, Sean Murphy, Bunting, Mack Wilson, Desmond Ridder, and Chris Moore. They lose Marquise Hollywood-Brown, DJ Humphries, and Rondell Moore. And then how many wide receivers left, Tony, to be totally honest with you? So we talked about this briefly earlier, and I'm just going to put my exclamation point on it. I can't imagine they're not walking out of that first down with a receiver and picking fourth. I think they hope it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Absolutely. I mean, we've thought that all along. That's one of those plug and picks. Of course, that means that they'll throw a curveball and take Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison. But, he's a great fit. He's a game-controlling receiver. I mean, he's just basically setting up his own hurdles, and it's a lot of unforced errors from Marvin Harrison Jr. in the run-up to the draft. But it makes perfect sense for a variety of reasons.
And Tony, finally, they also pick 27. So they got a couple picks through the Arizona Cardinals. I think that pick must have came from the trade down with the Texans last year, right?
Correct.
So they have the Texans first round pick. And if they go wide receiver early, I think we're back in that pass rusher category, right? The Chop Robinsons, the Latu. If any of those guys are available that late in round one, I think those are definitely really big needs and steals and good value at a position that the Cardinals desperately need in terms of pass rush.
Maybe a cornerback. If a top cornerback is there, I think that's a position they go to. I know they signed Jonah Williams to be a tackle. I've also thought Jonah Williams would be better off at inside. If a top offensive tackle is staring them in the face, I don't. It's not a priority. It'd be a contingency if none of the top cornerbacks are available to them.
Absolutely. Tony, final thoughts before we say goodbye.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of smoke that's thrown out there. It's going to be very interesting. Couple of big pro days coming up. The LSU pro day, the Michigan pro day is coming up. That's going to be huge as far as setting draft boards. And then in April, you got the Cooper DeJean pro day. A couple of other guys that are not able to work out because of injuries filtering through the beginning of April.
And we will cover all of that on draft season on next week's episode. Don't forget, folks, it's all brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit moodys.com to learn more. Next week, we'll do AFC team needs. We'll continue to update the pro days and get in your questions. I'll put a tweet out there to solicit some draft questions. We'll get those. And of course, we'll update on any rumors or draft day trades or anything else going around the National Football League. Tony Pauline from Sports Kita. I'm John Schmelk. You can find and subscribe draft season on your favorite podcast platform, or even though it is not technically a Giants podcast, it's a draft podcast. You can find it on the Giants app or go to giants.com/podcast. If you want to listen that way, you can as well. For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Hey, Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.